Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means...
Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Alrighty, fourth and final hour, Zach Gelb Show on this Wednesday, right here. Wednesday, right here, CBS Sports Radio. QB's under most pressure entering this season in the NFL. If I had to give you five of them, I will do so right now on the eve before the NFL season does start. As tomorrow, we do have the Detroit Lions going to Kansas City to square off against the reigning Super Bowl champions and the Kansas City Chiefs. Hickey, just real quickly before we get to those quarterbacks, quick thought on the game tomorrow night. I think a lot of people are going to pick the Detroit Lions in this one. The spread was originally Kansas City by 6.5 after the uncertainty of Travis Kelce if he's going to play tomorrow. I know we'll spend more time talking about this tomorrow right through the first 2 hours of the show before the season does kick off. But you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they're now a 4.5-point favorite. How would you kind of bet this game tomorrow night? Right when the Kelce news happened, I did plus the points on the 6.5 points, and I parlayed it with something else for this upcoming weekend. But even though I don't think the Lions are going to the playoffs, I kind of think the Lions are alive to win this game tomorrow night. And I don't usually like to pick against Patrick Mahomes, but I could see this being a high-scoring offense game tomorrow, and it comes down to a field goal.
I am a believer in the Lions, which means if you don't have Travis Kelce, which looks like probably won't be the case, and you don't have Chris Jones, which also probably looks like that should be the case, even though Patrick Mahomes by far is the best quarterback in the NFL, you should win that game if you're Detroit. You have to win that game if you're Detroit. I'm buying into the Lions. I think they win tomorrow night.
You look at the Lions because you not that a start of the season is going to determine a team, but if you get off to a slow start, people then start to say, well, the Detroit Lions were a lot of offseason hype, and they didn't really meet it. Now, I know that this was a team last year that did not get off to the best of starts, and they did heat up down the stretch. Like, when this team was 1-6 last year, and that's how they started out the season, did anyone believe that the Lions are going to be a team that we talked about in a positive way at the end of the season? And then after they did go 1-6, they only lost two games the rest of the year. They finished up the year with a 9-8 record, where they beat the Packers, the Bears, the Giants. They lose to Buffalo by 3. Then they beat the Jaguars, the Vikings, the Jets. They lose to Carolina. They beat the Bears again, and they beat the Packers again. So they did a heck of a job down the stretch. But now I think people look, if you're going to go to level where some are saying you're going to go, you have to get off to a good start this year. Kansas City, Seattle, right out of the gate, tough and tough. You play the Falcons, who I picked to win the NFC South. Then you have Green Bay. And then the schedule does ease up a bit, where you get Carolina, you get Tampa Bay, but then you go right back to the Ravens, and you get the Raiders. That should be an easy game. Then you hit the bye week. So I'll just be curious, real quickly, and then we'll get back to this QB topic. You believe in the Lions to win the division. Out of the gate, first 8 games of the season, just give me win or loss. You're picking them to win tomorrow night, right?
Win tomorrow night.
Seattle next week.
Where's that game?
That game's in Detroit.
I'll say win.
2-0. You think the hype is big now. Imagine they beat Kansas City, Seattle right out of the gate. Holy smokes. Atlanta, week 3.
Win.
At Green Bay, short week, Thursday night, week 4.
I'll go loss. That's always tough for a road team.
Carolina.
Win.
At Tampa Bay, team that you gassed up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is the fighting Hickey game.
That is. I will say win, though, for Detroit.
Wow. I thought you were going to go with Tampa Bay, even though the right pick there probably is Detroit. At Baltimore.
I'll go loss, but close.
And then you play the Raiders.
Win.
Monday Night Football.
So it should be talking about a 6-2 team right now.
So you're looking at a 6-2 team, and that's giving them Kansas City and Seattle right out of the gate. So really, even if you disagree with one of those picks, let's just say, if you get 5 wins out of the gate, and you're 5-3, you take that in a second. If they go 5-3 out of the gate, I think Detroit is going to be making the right step. Because you play the Chargers coming out of bye, probably a loss. You should be able to split the Bears. You gave them a loss, I believe. Did you give them a loss against Green Bay? the first time?
I did.
So then you could split them there. So that gets a 7. You should beat the Saints. That gets them to 8. You play the Broncos. That should be a win that's like 9. And then you wrap up the season, 2 games against Minnesota and then the Cowboys. That's a tough end to the season for the Lions. Talk, like, if we expect to be Minnesota and Detroit going back and forth, I'll tell you now, that final game of the season against Minnesota, that could be flexed to Sunday Night Football. That would not surprise me whatsoever if that's a Sunday Night Football game.
Second year in a row, Lions on the final Sunday night game.
Did last year end the season on Monday Night Football game? Or am I just confusing
Sunday
that?
Sunday night.
So I'm confusing with the wild card round being that they have a Monday night game.
Yes.
That's probably what I'm thinking of right there. All right, so we'll see what the Lions are going to be. I think the Lions will be fine. I didn't pick them to make the playoffs. I just believe in Minnesota more, and I only put one team in from the playoffs from that NFC North. All righty. Let's get to these 5 quarterbacks under the most pressure this year. Well, let me just ask you this, and I'll scramble up the order. Would you agree, in no order, Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and Tua Tagovailoa are the 5 quarterbacks under the most pressure this year?
No. I would put Josh Allen in that top 5.
Interesting.
I think Josh Allen definitely. I think Josh Allen probably has more pressure than Jordan Love to start this year.
Now, let me just remind people, you could define pressure in numerous ways. Like, I don't think that's you saying that Josh Allen's in any danger of losing his job with the Buffalo Bills. That's just more so the expectation of a guy that's a top 5 quarterback, let's be real, more so a top 3 or top 4 quarterback in the NFL, where you don't know how long the window is, and the last few years, you made your mark, people were believing in you, and last year, it started to go in the wrong direction, where you barely beat the Dolphins in the wild card round, and then boom, divisional round weekend, the Cincinnati Bengals just took care of you like it was nothing, like it was easy peasy in your own home.
And your turnovers are a big issue down the stretch, too, and if your relationship with Stephon Diggs can't be repaired, now is it more with the team or whatever? Just that's also part of him. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure on him to get a lot of things right this year.
I'm a big believer in Josh Allen. I am. I think Josh Allen is a phenomenal quarterback. The only thing that could concern me, and I do believe that people doubting them is going to play into their advantage and it's going to be a positive for them. So you know how we talk about the Ravens, how the Ravens, this is the point I'm going to make here. The Ravens tell you with Lamar Jackson, oh, we're going to throw the football more with Monken. And then Lamar made that ridiculous claim how he's going to throw for 6,000 passing yards. We know that's not going to happen. But there's that uncertainty when you say we're going to throw the football more. How much more is it going to be? The Buffalo Bills have told you that Josh Allen has to take fewer hits. So my question about the Bills is, how is that going to look? Like, are you just going to continue to tell Josh Allen, run, 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 run early on in the season, and then it's up to him to slide a few yards earlier than what he normally does and not try to run through a brick wall? Or will you actually do what you should do and take the ball out of his hands early on and hand it off more to James Cook, hand it off more to Damian Harris? And I just wonder how that dynamic, Hickey, plays on out, where they tell you we want Josh Allen, Josh Allen needs to take fewer hits. And I've been saying this now for the last 2 years. They keep on saying that. Well, don't have him be Superman throughout the entirety of the season. You don't need him to be running the ball as much as he has been, especially early on in the season. And these running backs got to break out this year.
That's the last part is where it's at. It has to be with the running game. It has to be with the running game with the actual running backs, not Josh Allen. That's part of the reason why he's running so much, getting so many hits. They can't run the ball outside of him. And so you have no choice but to basically put the ball in Josh Allen's head and say, hey, go make a play in the air and then go make a play on the ground. And it's up to the Bills to actually, for the first time in the Josh Allen era, at least really since they've been a Super Bowl contender, let's say since 2020, run the ball consistently with running backs.
And there's no more Devin Motor Singletary, who was fine for them, but he was up and down. He was inconsistent. He put like 3 good games, then would be irrelevant for 3 games, then would come back for 3 good games, and then you wouldn't basically see him be any productive for 3 games after that. So James Cook has to play a big role, and Damian Harris is a solid running back in this league. There's no doubt about that. So you have 2 backs that are capable. Now they have to go do it in the approach offensively. I'm not saying make this be like 1975 where it's run, 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 run the ball 35, 40 times a game, but you got to take some of the food off the plate of Josh Allen and what you're asking him to do. Okay, QB's under the most pressure this year. Number 5, Tua Tagovailoa. I was on with Hockman and Crowder today with Solana on 560 WQAM. and we look at their roster, the Dolphins roster is loaded. Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, defensively with Phillips and, you know, the secondary that they have when they get Ramsey back and you have Howard, you got Christian Wilkins up front. This is a team that has so much speed and they could be a really good team. But you've said this now for the last few years, Hickey, if Tua can't stay healthy, you have a window here to go win. So this is a last straw for Tua. If he can't stay healthy, the Dolphins have to move on at the end of this year. It stinks because it's been concussions, but for Tua Tagovailoa, I do think his job is on the line this year, where if you go into the playoffs, and I know it'd be Mike White, not Skylar Thompson this year, but if it's not Tua Tagovailoa, you have to go look to go get another quarterback this offseason, because this has been a team that has been all in. And when you're all in, you only have a short window. And you can't allow the same thing to come back to hurt you, unfortunately, each and every year. And that's just been the injuries for Tua Tagovailoa. So Tua's in at number five. Four, it's Dak Prescott. The Cowboys waited to give him an extension. Now it seems like they're waiting again, regardless of what Jerry Jones says. I look at Dak in an NFC that's weak. You have the Eagles, you have the 49ers. Jalen Hurts was just a star last year, had a breakout season. Brock Purdy, in seven games, got the Niners to an NFC championship game. The Cowboys have talent. CeeDee Lamb, you have Brandon Cooks, you got Tony Pollard, you have a championship caliber defense, but this offense, the last 2 years against the Niners, the quarterback in Dak Prescott was not good enough. Dak has to be better this year. Dak can't be the reason, but he can't be the reason why they lose. In at number three, it's Jordan Love. I'm not saying Jordan Love is under pressure this year where I think where it's bad enough where he loses the job and they have a new starting quarterback next year. But what makes Jordan Love, here's what I'll say about Love. He's the most fascinating quarterback to me entering this season, Hickey. And what I mean by that is we haven't seen much of Jordan Love by design because Aaron Rodgers was their quarterback. And not a lot of us watched him in college. And he had that one really good year, then everyone left him, and then he had that one really bad year. But for Jordan Love, we've talked about him now for four years. He's handled everything the right way, and now he's the starting quarterback of that team. And what makes him so intriguing is that a lot of times when we talk about someone and we don't see him play, you have all this analysis where some of it's fair and then some of it's unfair. Because most people are commenting on Jordan Love and have never really seen him play for a long period of time. Like, look at what Darius Slay said after he played one quarter up against the Eagles. So now Jordan Love gets that opportunity, and he needs the help to be there. Like, look at Trey Lance. He got that opportunity last year. After two games, he was out. He was done. And now he's no longer on the team. He's with the Dallas Cowboys. But for Jordan Love, he's just so intriguing because, you know, in Green Bay, they went from Favre, Super Bowl champ, Hall of Fame quarterback, to Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl champ, Hall of Fame quarterback. Now it's up to Jordan Love to continue to carry that baton. Number two, it's Aaron Rodgers. This offseason, Rodgers. All it was talking about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' image right now is in a really good spot because he has been handling New York perfectly. But when all we talk about is Aaron Rodgers, I think it does elicit a response where if you aren't a Jets fan, there will be fans that are rooting for Aaron Rodgers and a lot of them to fail because they're tired of all the Aaron Rodgers talk. And the Jets as a team have been hyped up. Look at this great defense. You have the reigning offensive rookie of the year, the reigning defensive rookie of the year, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. You got one of the better defensive linemen in the league in Quinnen Williams. And you just have this team. Dalvin Cook goes there. They've been in the news a lot. Some by design, others part, they didn't want to be in Hard Knocks, then they're on Hard Knocks, and that even took the hype to a different level. For Aaron Rodgers this year, he has an opportunity to go win a Super Bowl. And I know he's already a Hall of Fame quarterback. I know he's already one of the all-time greats, but imagine if he gets that second Super Bowl and he does it with the Jets. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he'll have a really good season. I picked him on the MVP. I picked the Jets to make the playoffs. But there's been so much talk about Rodgers, and we talk about the start of the season, right, with the Lions schedule. The Jets schedule right out of the gate is really tough. And everything so far has been so positive, and Rodgers has done everything the right way. If they start to struggle, there will be a moment of adversity for the Jets this year. You saw it with Brady year one in Tampa, Stafford year one with the Rams. It both ended up Super Bowl, Super Bowl. But you look at to the start of the season, you play the Bills, you play the Cowboys, you play the Patriots, who aren't going to be good, but you haven't beat them since 2015. Kansas City, Denver, Philadelphia, the Giants, and the Chargers. Those are the first eight games of the season for the Jets. Tough schedule, and we'll see what happens if the Jets lose back-to-back games. And then finally, it's Russell Wilson. Sean Payton said, forget about Russ Inc., and go out there and focus more on football and stop trying to be a politician and do everything off the field. Russell Wilson, his Hall of Fame status is on the line, where we thought he was a lock to make the Hall of Fame, leaves Seattle, goes to Denver, and last year was the punchline to every joke in the NFL. If he does not restore himself to still being a good quarterback, and he put in the work this offseason, he looks like he's in better shape, but you got to let go of all this other crap off the field, and you have to focus on football, and football has to be paramount. And I'm not talking about charity work when I talk about off the field. It's all this stuff of trying to be this like global icon. Russ lost his way last year, and he lost his focus of football being number one. He's got to get that back this year, and he's got to have a good season. Even if the Broncos don't have team success, he has to be good this year. He can't be the main reason or one of the main reasons, because you can't let Nathaniel Hackett off the hook. But Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson was like the worst marriage ever. Now Russell Wilson has to have a good second chapter. If he doesn't, he could play himself out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So those are my five quarterbacks under the most pressure this year. Tua Tagovailoa, 5. Dak Prescott, 4. Jordan Love, 3. Aaron Rodgers, 2. And Russell Wilson, 1. Who's a QB that you think's under a lot of pressure this year? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. You can always interact with us, Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. When we come on back, we talk a little bit about the Arizona Cardinals. Jonathan Gannon continues to creep me out. And Jonathan Gannon also said Kyler Murray will play this year.
Guys, it's no secret that classic dress shirts suck. That's why our friends at And Collar created something different. No more tight collars, loose fabric, or stubborn stains. Just outrageously comfortable shirts that are breathable, stain-resistant, and perfect for all occasions. Blending the comfort of athletic wear with the style of dress shirts, you'll never feel better being dressed up. Discover their versatile collection at andcollar.com and save 20% with code RADIO. Shop shirts and more at andcollar.com. Discount code available for a limited time. Terms and conditions apply.
Need a uniform refresh? Try Lands' End Business for fully customized clothing and promotional products featuring your logo and colors, all expertly made. Go to business.landsend.com/LE2023 and use promo code LE2023 for 20% off your order.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So I was reading an article today. I think it was on ESPN, and it was talking about Jonathan Gannon. And in the article, it said, Gannon can, too, start with the two that sting the most, a pair of fourth-quarter coverage busts that earned him a healthy amount of blame back in Philly. He said, I'm the reason we lost the Super Bowl, he says, mimicking the criticism. Now, Hickey, I know sometimes things get blasted out there and there's no context, but everywhere I read today, outside of the actual article, like everyone that pumps out this information, they were like, Jonathan Gannon takes blame for the Super Bowl and says, I'm the reason we lost the Super Bowl. In the article, after it immediately says, quote, I'm the reason we lost the Super Bowl, he says, mimicking the criticism. It's like, I know that you can't trust everything that you read online, but the fact that people put it out there that Jonathan Gannon took blame for the Super Bowl, where I think it goes both ways, is he the number one reason why they lost the Super Bowl? No. He's not. But he does deserve blame because his defense stunk. And the players were awful in that game defensively. But how many times do we say players win championships and then, right, the coaches end up getting the blame and a lot of people give passes to the players, but it doesn't go their way. So I look back at Jonathan Gannon. I don't like the way that Jonathan Gannon handled his departure from Philadelphia. he kind of creeps me out, and I don't even get why he's still talking about this. I know it's an article and it's something that was written up, but now your only focus should be on the Arizona Cardinals and you being the head coach. And I don't think you're doing yourself any favors by mimicking the question here. And it kind of shows that he is sensitive. Like, I'm not saying that's an easy thing when you're a defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, you're winning all these games, defense is playing awesome, but people are crushing you all throughout the season. Even the coach came to your defense, where he went after a mentor of mine, Angelo Cataldi, for saying, like, oh, what's Angelo saying now about the defense when you had a big performance by Gannon in the postseason to start things off. But, like, you look at this now with Jonathan Gannon. Yes, was he as bad as what Eagles fans made it out to be? No. I understand that. But at this point, it's like, what are we doing mimicking the blame that you got where you want to move past that? Now you have a head coaching job. It didn't derail your head coaching aspirations. Heck, you're already guaranteed to be the coach with all the tampering before the Super Bowl even did go down. And it's just kind of one of those things where I don't get why he's still talking about the Super Bowl, where it wasn't a good showing for you. Should you be enemy number one? No, but it's like, move on at this point already. You're a head coach of a football team now.
I mean, I agree. I guess the only thing I don't know is, like, was he asked about it? Because, you know,
obviously
he
was.
In the article, and that's why he's bringing it up, or he's bringing it up on his own. But
how many times is a coach asked something and you defuse the situation? Like, we go back to the Sean McDermott situation. Are you concerned that Stephon Diggs isn't here? If he would have just said, hey, we're going to keep that internal. We expect to be a full go for the season, and it's a personal matter. Doesn't turn out to be this big of a mess as what it is when you go, yeah, I'm really concerned that he's not here right now. Belichick gets asked tough questions all the time, and he gives you nothing. You know, we look at Ron Rivera. He did the opposite. Like, he's an open book. He's admitting that he didn't really know how great Sam Howell could be in his mind, or the whole Bieniemy stuff. So it's like, don't be the reason why you continue to add to the story where you could be asked a question and you could find a way to sidestep it or not give more, add more fuel to the fire. But anyway, I'm not a believer in Jonathan Gannon. Even though I defend him a little bit for his time as the defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, I don't think he should be a head coach in this league. I got to play you, though. This is from a few days ago. This is the Jonathan Gannon speech to the team that he's giving, that he's now the head coach to, of the Arizona Cardinals. The expectations are so low, and the team just stinks. The front office and the owner, right? You're going into this year. I don't think the players are tanking. I don't think the coach is tanking, but it's clear that the owner and then also the general manager, there was a lot of work to do. We know this roster isn't good, and you have to overhaul the entire roster coming out of the Steve Keim debacle the last few years. But now it's clear that they want the number one overall pick, and it's a tough situation for Gannon to be in. I don't think he's ready to be a head coach, but here is Jonathan Gannon's big address to the football team the other day.
Welcome back. Who drove over here? Quick, let me see your hands. Who took the bus? Did you have fire in your gut? Did you? We're here for a reason. Don't get that twisted, okay? We're here for a reason to win games. So if you didn't have that fire in your gut, you better light the fire pretty fast. Be who you are. Just understand, I'm looking for killers.
Hickey, did you take the bus here to work today? I just wonder.
I did not.
How'd you get to work today?
I took the subway.
Did you have that fire in your gut when you got on that subway?
Of course, every day.
All right, just making sure.
Ready to fight. Ready to go.
If you don't have that fire in the gut, you better bleep and find it.
Has there been an NFL player since 1980 that's ever taken the bus to work?
I'm sure there has been. Since 1980, yeah, I'm
like
sure.
Like, we make fun of some of the cars, and Kirk Cousins drives a minivan, but he drives.
Yeah.
Who is taking the bus as an NFL player?
Especially in the year of 2023, where the money, even for the players that are at the bottom of the roster, is so much better than where it was 20-something years ago. I can't see an NFL player now in the year of 2023 taking the bus to work. And even so, like, what does that prove if you did take the bus to work? compared to using your luxurious vehicle. Like, I just don't even get why he would ask that. Is he saying, like, everyone's got to hop on my bus now? Is that what Jonathan Gannon's trying to go for there? The Cardinal bus? The Gannon bus?
I hope so. Like, clearly that was edited in like a little 30-second promo. I pray that there was a bigger point than just, did you have the fire in your gut and you asked if you took the car or drove your car or took the bus.
Well, this is a team-issued video, correct?
Yes.
So you think the team's objective would be to make the coach look good?
Yes.
And this is in an edited video. So if that's the case and this is them making him look good, if you got the entirety of the speech, I think the speech is putrid just in the condensed version. It's probably just even more brutal when you sit through, what, the 5-6 minutes that he's addressing the team.
I mean, I guess if you're a Cardinals fan, since I'm an eternal optimist, I guess what I'll say is Campbell.
Wait, timeout. You are trying, I know that you're just looking for a positive here. I want to see how you have to stretch to find the positive for this team.
Dan Campbell started his opening press conference by saying, we're going to bite off kneecaps. Arguably maybe the most bizarre line ever issued in a head coach speech or press conference.
But at least Campbell kind of, you know, is a former football player, has that football tough guy psycho look to him. Jonathan Gannon, he looks like he could be a model at Abercrombie and Fitch, for crying out loud.
I don't know about that, but at least, I mean, but it's bizarre. These both are very bizarre clips that make no sense. So I'm just saying, Lions fans, I'm sure, thinking, some of them at least, what the hell is the guy talking about? How is biting off kneecaps going to equate to wins? You could be saying the same thing if you're a Cardinals fan. How is taking the bus going to equate to wins here about fire in the gut? That's all I'm going to say is not everything you hear in one of the first press conferences, team meetings.
Sirianni and the flower analogy.
Doomed. Right.
Mike McDaniel, I still don't get whatever he's trying to say, but he won a bunch of games last year.
You don't need, you know, you don't win the game in the press conference.
But you got to have some talent, and they got no talent.
Well, that is absolutely their problem. For this year, they're not winning this year. But I'm saying overall, as his head coaching tenure, you don't have to jump ship just yet.
Now, I am surprised by how many people I've seen tweet today saying, this feels like it's one and done with Jonathan Gannon. I could guarantee you this. I don't care what the Cardinals do this year, Jonathan Gannon will be back next year. I don't believe in Jonathan Gannon. And I know that this was an organization, after 1 year, they sent Steve Wilkes packing. But they just gave contract extensions to Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim and then fired them the next year. So I don't remember what the Gannon deal was. The standard's usually 5 years. So if it's 4 or 5 years, whatever, there is no way they're going to basically have to still pay the extension of Keim and Kingsbury, and then also have to go pay another 3-4 years of Jonathan Gannon as well. Like, I think they're, I don't want to say it's a 0% chance because it is the Cardinals and they are a dysfunctional organization, but I think there is a less than 5% chance that they're moving on from Jonathan Gannon at the end of the season. And I believe this season is going to be a hot mess for the Cardinals. They are not set up to succeed. If they get to 4 wins, I think you should be jumping for joy. And I just don't believe that this guy, Jonathan Gannon, is ready to be a head coach. But still, with that being said, you're not going one and done here with Jonathan Gannon.
In theory, I agree with you. But this Cardinals ownership and front office, they give you no reason to give him the benefit of the doubt. I still put his chances of being one and done low, but probably higher than 5%. Because, I mean, honestly, Michael Bidwell, can you actually feel like you actually think he'll do the right thing or the smart thing here?
No. But he's basically now allowing Monty Ossenfort to run the team. And to give credit to Monty Ossenfort, actually say something positive about the Cardinals, he did a great job moving off that number 3 pick and getting the Texans' first round pick for next year, where you could have 2 top 5 picks in the draft, or maybe even the 1st and 2nd pick or the 1st and 3rd pick in the NFL draft, potentially. So I think Monty Ossenfort would bring back Gannon no matter what, because he knows there's still a long ways to go with this team, and next year this team still won't be anywhere close to being this great team because you have to build around a lot of the other roster and the rest of the roster with how many players have left, and you know maybe Buda Baker gets traded by the trade deadline too, where I don't believe that he's going to want to make that move after 1 year. And I don't think the owner is going to want to make the move either. But here's also an interesting conversation about the Cardinals. So I saw that they named Kyler Murray a captain, even though he's hurt, and Jonathan Gannon expects him to play at some point this season. If that is true, that you have Kyler Murray coming off the ACL injury that he suffered late in the season up against the Patriots on that primetime game, and you're kind of going for that number 1 overall pick, which means that you'd be trying to find a way to dump Kyler Murray in the offseason. Do you think there's any point to play Kyler Murray coming off an ACL? If, let's say, he's ready for the final 4 or 5 games of the season or something along those lines.
I mean, if you're trying to get Caleb Williams, no. I just don't see how you can actually sell to your team and the fan base. Like, Kyler Murray tore his ACL, was it December?
Yeah.
Back probably most likely around, I would say, the latest midway through the season. Can you really sell your team he can't play the last 8 games when he's healthy? I just don't see how you pull that off.
I would probably think that he is going to play this year. I do. But I just wonder if you're already moving on and then, God forbid, he gets hurt again, you drive down the value even further. Like, the contract is a detriment. I do think there would be a team that's willing to trade for Kyler Murray, but the financials of this are going to be very confusing as well. Because if they have the number 1 overall pick, they're drafting Caleb Williams. Everyone knows that. But right now, and I know that dead cap isn't as easy put as we once thought of it, but next year the dead cap is $81.5 million. Then after that, it goes down to 33, 20, and then 7. So $81 million in the dead cap is astronomical. And I just wonder how they're going to navigate through that, because can you see Kyler Murray and Caleb Williams both being on this roster next year? I can't.
No, no way. But also, you're not trading Kyler Murray for value at that point. You're trading him to move off him.
You are.
So you're not,
but you still want something back for him.
So if he plays and gets hurt, sure, it sinks a lot of the value, but it's also not like, oh, this is our golden goose that was going to get us Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. and now it's lost. It stinks, but it's also like, okay, well, we're more like, the bigger thing is getting the salary off the books than getting like a first-round pick back, which you're not going to get for Kyler Murray.
And it also depends on what the market's going to be, too. Which you wouldn't think it's going to be very robust, but this is a player that is viewed as a good player, not a great player, coming off a big injury, still young, you know, definitely deserving of a second chance. You know, hasn't been horrible. And it's like, okay, who are the teams that could potentially be interested in Kyler Murray? You know, if the Dolphins have to move off of 2 because of injuries, maybe it's Miami. In the AFC West, could the Raiders be a potential destination after this year? No one in the AFC North. The South? Tennessee? You know, could they be in play for Kyler Murray? NFC East, of the Commanders go make a move after this year if Sam Howell's no good? You look around the NFC West, they're not going to trade. I don't think they trade Kyler Murray in division. The North, if the Vikings move on from Kirk Cousins, maybe Kyler Murray's a potential landing spot in Minnesota. And then in the NFC South, maybe the Bucks. Maybe the Bucks go out there and go get Kyler Murray. So there's a few teams there that could be interested. There's some teams that could need the quarterback, but I do believe the contract is going to scare off some teams, but there's going to be a GM, or there's going to be a coach at least that is out there and says, man, this guy's a good quarterback. And he didn't have good coaching with Cliff Kingsbury. And then he got hurt. And we think that we could fix him and get him to be close to what that number 1 pick was for Kyler Murray, and close to that version that you thought he was going to be. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back with the closing bell. We'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming. Before we toss it to Peter Schwartz, the latest CBS Sports Radio update, Peter Schwartz is a long-suffering Jets fan, and for the first time in a long time, the Jets have a lot to look forward to entering a season. Peter, on a scale of 1 being no confidence, to 10 being that this team is definitely going to win the Super Bowl and you're the most confident that you've ever been, where is your confidence level at with your New York Jets entering this season?
On winning the Super Bowl?
And just terms of where you're feeling right now, 1, no confidence whatsoever, 10, that they're easily going to win the Super Bowl.
I'm going to say 7.
All right, so it's pretty high.
I'm going to say 7. I mean, if you ask, let's put it this way. If you ask me the question, what's my confidence level they're going to make the playoffs, I'd say 10.
Okay.
And then obviously, as you know, I mean, you get in the playoffs, doesn't matter whether you're home or away, anything can happen. But I am extremely confident they're going to make the playoffs, and then that I would be, you know, based on what we see in the regular season, you know, I think this roster, especially with the quarterback, capable of beating anybody.
Are your kids going nuts for this season? Or are your kids, yes, are both 2 big football fans?
Oh, yeah, tremendous.
You have a senior already in high school, and then how old's your other son?
So Bradley is 17 and Jared is 13.
So they've already had enough years of heartbreak with this football team where they've just been absolutely miserable. But still, as a parent, you're looking out for the best interest of your child. Now, I think rooting for a bad football team does build some toughness and does build some character. But as the good father that you are, you're kind of setting up your kids to kind of be disappointed this year at all.
Well, I mean, they know the stories. I mean, I've told them all the stories. I mean, listen, you know, it's a little over a decade ago. It's back-to-back AFC Championship games, and then they haven't been back. And it's funny because, you know, a couple of years ago when the Islanders got to the semifinals 2 years in a row, when they lost Game 7 in 2021 to the Lightning, it was not a happy scene around here.
Especially
and I was just trying to
the way that they lost, right? That they had the man advantage?
Because the Lightning had 18 guys on the ice for the shorthanded goal that they scored. So, I try to explain to them, you know, sometimes there's a little bump in the road before you get to the top. Now, in the case of the Islanders, you know, they're still a playoff team. But since the Jets went to the back-to-back title games, they have not made the playoffs. So I'm trying to explain to them that, you know, it's kind of like what Kermit the Frog says. It ain't easy being green. So it's good to be excited. I think they're going to have a good team. But I also tell them to remember that they are a Jet fan.
Just be careful when you have to celebrate some moments this year. I need Peter Schwartz in good shape for all these updates throughout the season. Okay?
Well, I will tell you, so people ask all the time.
No hip fractures, all right, this year?
No. People ask all the time, what will your reaction be if the Jets go to the Super Bowl? And my wife will interrupt and say, I will have to take him to the hospital.
By the way, driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal, and law enforcement officers can tell if you are driving high. If you feel different, you drive different, drive high, get a DUI paid for by NHTSA. We'll come on back with the closing bell.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, let's start things off with Nick Bosa. Waiting. And gets paid right before the season is about to start. The Niners, clearly a Super Bowl contender. And Nick Bosa gets $34 million a year. What a contract that is for Nick Bosa. Give him a stock up. 5 years, $170 million for Nick Bosa. And it is a little over $122 million guaranteed in that contract. Congratulations to him. Let's hear from Neil Brown, the head coach of West Virginia, whining like a little baby, that Neil Brown, about James Franklin running up the score at the end of the game.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't have done it. But it doesn't bother me. Like, I'm not going to stay. Like, I just think stuff like that comes around, goes around. You know, at some point it'll come back around. You know, when, I don't know. But it doesn't bother me. I'm not upset about it.
So it doesn't bother you, but then you're going to complain about it, basically, and then wish karma to come back in the bad way against them. Seems like you're annoyed. James Franklin, I'm not a big fan of you, but you did the right thing. Your backups are playing. Let them go get some touch. Let them go get a touchdown. And if Neil Brown has a problem with it, his defense could have stopped it. But they didn't. So quit your bitching, Neil Brown. I'm giving a stock up to James Franklin. Let's hear Duke quarterback Riley Leonard after his big victory up against Clemson. He was begging to get an extension for his homework from a professor, this courtesy of the ACC Network.
Professor Taylor, if you're seeing this, please let me turn in my homework late because it's due tonight, I think at 12, so it may already be 12.
Here is the response from Professor Taylor, Duke
University.
Hey,
Riley, great game last night, man. It was so exciting. Congratulations to you and all your teammates. But you know, Wesley Williams and the other linemen who were in the class, they said they prepared ahead and did it ahead of time, so why didn't the quarterback? So no way, man. No extension.
Do you think they actually didn't give him an extension? I think the professor's having some fun there. I don't think he's actually serious.
He's probably not, but I respect that he's publicly, he's standing his ground and saying no. No to the quarterback.
I saw someone say that his Rate My Professor score was down big time today. You can give the star player a little special treatment there. I have no problem with that. Heck, I took a public relations class as an elective in college, and the professor knew that I was trying to be a sports broadcaster, and I was calling the Temple game up against Villanova, and he goes, don't even worry about the assignment. Go call the game. you can give the star player a little treatment there. Time and time. It's not going to hurt you. So what if the offensive linemen don't get an extension? They manage their time better. So I'm giving a stock down there to Professor Taylor. Sail! Kansas City Chiefs, you had a mess just like Nick Bosa with the San Francisco 49ers. They got their deal done. Now your price is going to go up even more. I know you're the defending Super Bowl champs. Really, you're in the penthouse, so it doesn't really matter. But you should have got this thing done already with Chris Jones. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So give a stock down to the Kansas City Chiefs. Sail! How the mighty have fallen. The Rams, Super Bowl champs 2 years ago. Last year, embarrassment. This year to start the season, Cooper Kupp is injured. Won't be there for week one. We'll see if he ends up going on the pup list here and is out for the first four games, injured reserve. We have to miss three games. So we'll have to see what does transpire with Cooper Kupp, but not a good start to the Rams season. I expect this to be an ugly season once again for the Rams. So give a stock down to L.A. Alrighty, that's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Hot Take Hickey. Big thanks to each and every one of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. You could always give me a follow, Twitter and Instagram, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. If you don't follow, make sure you go do so right now. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll kick off the football season. We'll preview Lions and Chiefs, plus do a little football. Big game for Alabama this weekend against Texas. Roman Harper will join us. All right, we out. Bye-bye. Peace.